The epistle to be read today for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3. Brethren, be followers of me and observe them who walk so as you have your model. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will reform the body of our lowliness, made like to the body of his glory, according to the operation whereby also he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my dearly beloved brethren, and most desired, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beg of Evodia, and I beseech Syntyche, to be of one mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, my sincere companion, help those women who have labored with me in the gospel with Clement and the rest of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 9. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, behold, a certain ruler came up and adored him, saying, Lord, my daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus, rising up, followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who was troubled with an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him, touched him, the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I shall touch only his garment, I shall be healed. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, be of good heart, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus was come into the house of the ruler, and saw the minstrels and multitude making a rout, he said, give place, for the girl is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed at him to scorn, and when the multitude was put forth, he went in and took her by the hand. And the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that country. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And a certain ruler came up and adored him, saying, Lord, my daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. The words are taken from the gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Saint Malachi, who was the first canonized Irish saint, lived in 1094 to 1148. Now, there's an interesting story about Saint Malachi and his sister. After St. Malachi's sister died, he faithfully offered prayers for her eternal salvation. But after some time, as often happens with us, he stopped doing so. He got caught up with the daily things of life and didn't think about praying for his sister's soul. And then one night, he heard someone speaking to him. He's listened and looked for someone, but saw no one. Then he heard the voice again. It instructed him that his sister was waiting for him outside the church, and she asked for his assistance. Now the saint understood what this meant. He well knew that he needed to pray for the repose of the soul of his sister. And so he resumed the pious exercises he had stopped, and he continued to pray for the repose of her soul. Then not long after this, he had another vision of his sister. He saw her at the entrance of the church, and in clothes of mourning. She had a sad and dejected look. Now he realized that his sister was still in purgatory, and so he redoubled his prayers in her behalf. And he never let a day go by without performing many acts of piety for her relief. Then on the next visit, the second visit, he saw his sister's soul. She was wearing less mournful clothes, and this time she was inside the church. But she would not approach the altar. So after seeing this vision, St. Malachi was filled with even more confidence. For now he saw that his power and the efficacy of his prayers. He knew that he was greatly helping and assisting his sister's soul. And so he continued and even multiplied his prayers even more than before. He did his utmost to satisfy divine justice in her behalf. And so then on the third appearance of his sister, he was greatly joyed to see that she was clothed in garments of dazzling brightness and had advanced to the altar of the church. And she was with a multitude of heavenly spirits who accompanied her. He was thus consoled that his prayers had effected the release of her soul from purgatory and that she had been admitted to heaven. Now in the gospel for today, our Lord heals two people. The first is a woman who had an illness for 12 years, and yet she persevered in praying to God for her relief. And because of her faith, perseverance, and confidence in our Lord, she was healed by him. And so great was her faith that she told herself all she had to do was touch our Lord's garments, and then she would be healed. And then our Lord proceeded to the house of the ruler, who asked our Lord to bring his daughter back to life. He too had great confidence in Christ, for even though his daughter was already dead, he said to our Lord, "Come, lay thy hand upon her, and she will live." And so our Lord entered the ruler's house and went to the girl. He took her by the hand, and she arose. She was raised back to life by the power of God. Thus the prayer of the ruler had been answered because of his great faith and confidence in our Lord. Now, my dear faithful, by these two striking examples in the gospel, we see how we ought to ask for favors from our Lord. We too must approach him like the woman and the ruler in the gospel. That is, we must approach him with great confidence. We must be confident that our Lord will hear our prayers and will answer them. The Venerable Blosius says, "Indeed, by means of prayer, every blessing is attainable." Let us then beseech our Lord in prayer, but let our prayers be said with confidence, being assured that the Sacred Heart will not turn a deaf ear to them. For the more confidence we have, the more readily will God hear our prayers. He wants us to ask him for things, and when he sees us doing so, he cannot help but answer our requests. Now, my dear faithful, the Church reminds us on All Souls Day, November 2nd, and throughout the month of November, to pray for the dead. Holy Mother, the Church promises many special graces during this month when we pray and do acts of penance for the souls in purgatory. Of course, we should often pray for them, not just during the month of November. But the Church reminds us, especially during this month, of the importance of praying for the poor souls. For we often forget. Even St. Malachi forgot to pray for his sister, but she appeared to him in a vision to ask for prayers. So the Church reminds us during this month, especially dedicated to the poor souls, to pray for them and intercede for them. She reminds us to pray for the souls who are forgotten, especially, and who have no one to pray for them. Now, it is important to pray for the poor souls in purgatory for three reasons. First, we pray for them to give honor to God, for he wants nothing more than the souls in purgatory than for them to be relieved and to enter heaven to be with him. Secondly, the poor souls need our help. For you see, they can do nothing to help themselves, and they are suffering so much in purgatory. Nothing we suffer here on earth can even compare to the pain that these souls in purgatory suffer. St. Cyril of Alexandria points out that it would be preferable to suffer all possible torments of earth until Judgment Day, then pass just one day in purgatory. Just think about that. It would be better to suffer any and all possible torments here on earth for hundreds of days than to suffer just one day in purgatory. The doctors of the church also tell us that one minute in this awful fire is like a century. And these poor souls can in no way alleviate their sufferings. However, we can help these poor suffering souls. We can make their sufferings less. For you see, my dear faithful, we can still merit here on earth by our good works and our prayers. And by this merit, we can appeal to God's mercy, which is far more efficacious in relieving the soul's suffering in purgatory. And so, like St. Malachi, we ought to confidently pray for the poor souls in purgatory. St. Malachi actually saw that his prayers were helping and affecting the release of the soul of his sister from purgatory. Each time she appeared to him, he saw her getting closer and closer to the altar in the church in his vision, until she finally reached the altar, which symbolized heaven. Now, this story is a manifestation of the Catholic teaching that the holy souls of purgatory depend on our prayers and sacrifices for their deliverance from their suffering. You see, the souls who die in the state of grace are saved, but they die with a debt of temporal punishment, and so they go to purgatory. They go to purgatory where they are purified and made clean. There they pay the debt they owe to God for their sins. And there is no way they can shorten their time there. But God, who is infinitely mercy and is infinitely just, is always ready and willing to accept the suffrages, that is, the prayers and sufferings offered by the faithful here on earth on behalf of the poor souls in purgatory. And so the third benefit of helping the poor souls is that when they enter heaven, they will in turn intercede for us. In other words, when these souls enter heaven, they will be so grateful for the prayers you offered for them that in return, they will intercede for you. And they will not be outdone in generosity. So, my dear faithful, let us not turn a deaf ear to their cries for help. We must not forget the poor souls, as St. Malachi at first did. We must not let their sufferings be prolonged when we have it in our power to help them. So offer your daily rosaries for them. For after the Mass, the most powerful prayer is the rosary. And Our Lady is just waiting for us to ask her to intercede for these poor souls. She wants nothing more than to help them. But she waits for us to ask. And she will multiply and increase our prayers that we offer to her on behalf of these poor souls. And also try to visit a cemetery during this month, for the church offers many indulgences and graces for those who go to the cemetery during the month of November. And remember that the greatest thing you can do for the poor souls is having masses said for them. The Mass is a sacrifice of infinite value, and thus it is the most powerful means to help the poor souls in purgatory. So be generous in praying for the holy souls and helping them reach their goal in heaven. And never forget that no matter how little our sacrifices may be, if done for the love of God, they will greatly assist the souls in purgatory. As one author says, there is no alms more deserving, none more pleasing to God, none more meritorious for us than the alms, the prayers, and the masses we give for the holy souls. And thus, in helping the poor souls, they will greatly assist you, both spiritually and temporally. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.